The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
W229HE Atlanta, the most listened to sports station in the South. WCNN North Atlanta, a Dickey broadcasting station. The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Poor clock management again on Matt's part. Bad job. Use all three timeouts early.
Don't worry about the clock.
And we were scrambling late in the half trying to get in field goal range. Chuck and Chernoff as we get moving in our 4 o'clock hour on The Fan on FM at 93.7. AM at 680. Yes, AM. We're still there. And, of course, our 680 The Fan mobile app. It is Braves opening week, which means that app will be your BFF on Thursday. You want to listen in at work? You want to put an earbud in, pretend you are working so the boss doesn't know? The 680 The Fan mobile app will be your best friend.
Oh, baseball's back.
That's right. The 4 o'clock hour of our show is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to get a visit from the doc. Now, the Doc McChuckin segment is a segment about the draft, because the doctor of the draft comes in and he talks to us about the draft.
All right. We had a consultant and he told Matt to make sure he labels and tells everybody in the audience who may be listening for the first time what's going on.
Oh, you're saying the consultant had listened before?
I'm saying that there. No, stop. Will you? I was trying to help.
Oh. So the point is, Chuck has got a Doc McChuckin segment around the corner tease us.
You get us in trouble.
Always.
The tape has to sell one prospect at a spot the Falcons could use an upgrade at.
All right. We'll get to that coming up in just a couple of moments. We're in the final week of Chuck and Chernoff's March cameo contest, and it's been a rousing success. Big name after big name. You, the audience, have reached out to people that you have contact with who are famous.
Giant hit.
Tito Santana called in. Made it happen early in the month. The Soup Nazi from
Soup for Everyone.
One of the more famous sitcoms of all time, Seinfeld. Elmo.
Chucky Chernoff.
There he is. One of the
That's
more
a tickle me
not
version.
Not AI. Not AI.
Not AI. Real Elmo.
Okay.
Right. Then there was Stale Cracker.
680 The Fan.
TikTok legend. Who am I forgetting in there? I know I'm forgetting. Oh, Bert Weiss, our friend from the FM
Your contest
side.
Sucks.
Chuck Oliver, actually, somebody entered him.
Happy Chinooka.
Right.
And Jerry Snorwood's the other one.
Oh, yes. And Falcon running back Jerry Snorwood. Okay. So I'm told we have a new entry, Charles.
All right. I'm okay.
Why? What is that response?
We should have gotten the prizes together before we started this.
Somebody's getting a magnificent prize package at the end of March, including Braves opening weekend tickets, dinner at the Battery. You'll throw out the ceremonial first pitch in studio, not on the field. Concert tickets, koozies, hats, T-shirts, swag bag, all of it. Okay. Do I need to introduce this in any way? Or is this pretty clear? Here's the latest entry into the cameo contest.
Hey, everybody. This is Sid Bream, former Atlanta Brave, and I want to give Cenan a shout out on the Chuck and Chernoff show on 680 The Fan. I hope he wins the cameo because he is the best. Have a good one, guys. Take care.
Okay, there you go. One of the more famous plays in Braves history, if not the most famous, involving Sid Bream sliding. Sid Bream is in. He's now entered for Cenan.
Your contest sucks.
No, that's a pretty good entry.
Bert's a hater.
That's a good entry. That's good.
You think if Bert did this, somebody would have me enter Bert's contest. So it's about the same.
No, like Will Ferrell would be there the first day.
You think?
Yeah.
Damn. That's disappointing. You really think that would happen?
Yeah.
Okay. But the point is,
Bert, come on.
Sid Bream is now in there like swimwear, so we appreciate that. So Chuck thinks Falcon fans may get some real inspiration from the most unlikely of NFL sources.
Yes, think back to where the Houston Texans were this exact week in 2021. The list of accusations and accusers had begun unfolding. What eventually became 26 women accusing Deshaun Watson of not being able to control himself. That was this week in 2021. But that was 3 years ago. Think where they were just 11 months ago. Okay, like going into the draft, they were viewed as one of the most dysfunctional, no direction franchises in the NFL. Now, they had an opportunity because they had a bunch of extra picks from Cleveland, but as far as what they had going on the field and as far as we knew the sideline, they had just done that thing. Matt, didn't they hire like the New England team chaplain to come in and be the general manager for a minute?
Sounded like it, sure.
And so what people forget is that at the conclusion of the 20 season, before the allegations started against Deshaun, he had gone public and said, trade me, not coming back. And so it had already gone way, way bad. And the reason all this matters is despite the details and age and method of acquisition, the first step Houston took was quarterback. And I want to say that literally. Think of the order of the draft last year, Matt. The Texans had 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. Could have selected Stroud third, but he's the QB. No way, no how that you'd choose to do that. If you were going to take a quarterback and you had back-to-back picks, you always, every time, would take the QB with the first one. You go out of your way to true love your quarterback, and they did. Then Will Anderson, who I think was defensive rookie of the year. Okay, they got that right. And they got the quarterback right. And then they got several other moves, Matt, that I want to ask you. Did they get this right, or are these moves that they got right because they got C.J. Stroud right and suddenly everything gets right? Like Dalton Schultz, okay? Did they get that right because Dalton Schultz was a guy that was a draft pick, like a good pick for the Cowboys? He played out his rookie deal, and the Cowboys thought so much of him, they're like, all right, bye. The Texans gave him a one-year deal for $5 million. They signed him after this year, $36 million contract because C.J. Stroud likes him. Mm-hmm. Like, so did they get Dalton Schultz right, or does C.J. Stroud make him a right pick?
So they got him enough right. Schultz is a good player. Like, I don't want to doubt, like,
no,
Schultz.
No, he's good enough.
He's a good
He got a one-year deal for $5 million to go play with a rookie quarterback. You know what that's called? This. I didn't have other options.
CJ was really good for a rookie, and I think we have to put that into its context. Like, CJ for a rookie was really, really good, but it wasn't, like, ridiculous numbers. So it's not like they had these gaudy offensive numbers where they had 2,000-yard receivers.
Oh, I know.
And they had double-digit. So my point is, I think it's a little bit of both. I think those weapons, as much as we weren't paying attention to them when they brought in Schultz or drafted some of the receivers, Tank Dell and others, like, it was a little bit of kind of both. And they hit the home run on Bobby Slowick that nobody would have ever predicted.
Here is why this may come back to Atlanta. Fair chance by October because the quarterback is fixed enough and he's healthy. And is it the number one passing attack in the league? Well, maybe not. But you don't have to be Tua throwing it, you know, 48 times a game. There is a fair chance by October we are raving not about, for instance, Dalton Schultz or Tank Dell, We're raving about Kyle, for instance, and how this sort of talent, of course, he's worthy at 4 overall. And what might be happening is, yes, Kyle's a stud, but you get the quarterback right, and suddenly so many other spots on that offense look like you got it right as well.
So I'll give you an idea.
We may actually see another level for Drake, because remember, Drake never to play Matt Ryan.
No question.
There may be actually something there.
Agreed. But on CJ itself, he was 14th in touchdown passes. But for a rookie, 23 touchdowns, you'll take it in a heartbeat. He didn't turn the ball over. He only had 5 picks, which jumps off the page. He completed less than 64% of his passes. But for a rookie, we're like, all these numbers are good. And they were very good. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think they surprised everybody with the stuff they put around him, with the scheme and what they ran. In the Falcons' case, because it's plug and play with the quarterback, all these other weapons just get a notch or two better. Kyle, you hope, gets 2 notches better. Drake gets a notch better. You hope Bijan, like, the one thing that's being lost in all this is Bijan's going to eat in a way that nobody is preparing for. He's going to catch a million balls. He's going to do stuff now that they're back in a more traditional offense. Like, I predicted Marshall Faulk type comps for Bijan when he was drafted, not as a rookie, but at some point in his career. This could be the year you see that between Zach Robinson, having Kirk Cousins, and knowing that Kirk's not wanting to get hit. How many dumps off to 7 are there going to be? Like, he catches 60 balls this year, 65 passes on top of the usage on the ground. Oh, they're all going to get a notch better. That's the beauty of having Kirk here. Chuck, good news. We want you to join 680 The Fan and Extra 106.3 as we adopt a duck to support Special Olympics of Georgia and its athletes. Special Olympics of Georgia is currently offering rubber ducky adoptions, where your donation not only gets you registered for some great prizes, but your support will help send athletes to the games. To adopt your duck and support Georgia's Special Olympians, go to SpecialOlympicsGA.com.
Dr. McChuckins.
Time for your checkup, time for your checkup.
I'm gonna check your ears, check your eyes, find out how much you've grown.
Time for your checkup, it's okay if you giggle.
Ha ha ha. Said that the tape has to sell one prospect at a spot the Falcons could use an upgrade at. That spot would be safety. Now, not Jesse Bates. I think Raheem, like a lot of coaches, he can look at guys and like, I didn't draft you. I didn't sign you. I didn't trade for you. Jesse, I'm good with. But the rest of you safeties, yeah, maybe we upgrade. It's not just corner they're looking at. So safety is the position. And for Javon Bullard, Georgia player, who Matt said, Falcons don't take him.
What did I say?
If I was going to take it.
Why would I say that?
I don't know why you say that, but you say because he played for Georgia.
Oh, yeah. They don't like Georgia players. They won't take him.
So, Javon Bullard, I'm telling you, he's one of those guys that the tape, and I mean the raw, like, bottom line production in the Southeastern Conference, it is undeniable. But when you look at the opinions about what you need to risk to draft him, there are so many like cautionary arm's length sort of opinions about drafting because of either limitations in space or athletics or change of direction or whatever stuff. It seems it will need to be scheme friendly for him at least, which I don't know, moving close to the line, but at his size, he's not quite 200 pounds, but I'll be dang if he's just so dang tough for all the football we have seen to this point. I don't think at the NFL level I want him in too much traffic, you wouldn't think. But in the SEC, his biggest moments came where? At or beyond the line of scrimmage. In the Southeastern Conference is at least the closest thing you can get on Saturdays. Here is the issue, and there is a bias against guys like this. When I say the tape has to sell him, it's not the individual workouts. All the numbers are good enough for Javon Bullard. But there is a strong element, Matt, of he just makes plays, or he's always around the ball. Well, that's great for the color analyst on the broadcast. You know who that's not good for? Scouts and coaches and GMs don't like things they cannot explain to the owner. Why'd you spend a 3rd-round pick on this guy? I don't know. He's just always around the ball. Believe me. Yeah, that's not a good answer, that you need to explain why you're doing this. Then there's a guy like Honey Badger. Like, Honey Badger didn't run a 4.28. Honey Badger sure as heck wasn't 6'1 and 225. And I'm like, that wasn't his stature. What was Honey Badger? Always around the football somehow, even on Sundays that happened. So there are exceptions. And like I said, the more you watch the tape with Javon Bullard, the more you really like the guy.
Time for your checkup. Time for your checkup.
Braves opening week, which means you need to have your 680 The Fan mobile app ready and tapped on Thursday for all things Braves. 3:05 first pitch, forward leadoff show, 680 game day. We'll get you set up all Thursday afternoon. All right, coming up, this Braves team has two things that none of the great Braves teams of the 90s ever had at the same time.
Two chicks at the same time.
I can't confirm nor deny that. What I have, though, is completely different, and I'll share it with you next. Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. I'm Matt Chernoff. That's Chuck Oliver. And we're with you till 6 every day.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chuck. Then you'll get 680 Rewind, follows us 6 to 7. More local sports power, an hour of that. And then when you get out of the car tonight, the theory is your radio stays on 680 or 93.7, and you wake up tomorrow morning, you get in the car, and there's the locker room, 6 to 10. And then you keep it right there for the Buck Ballou show at 10.
680 and 93.7.
And Shalini and Domino show 11 to 2. Tomorrow, they'll be entertaining as all get out. And then Wednesday, live in Athens, Kirby Smart to join the Shalini and Domino program on Wednesday. So look forward to all that. The 4 o'clock hour of our show is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. Thursday, opening day for the Braves. Hopefully you have your app. It's out. It's ready. It's downloaded. You're going to tap it Thursday afternoon to listen to the opener all the way through game 5 of the World Series when they beat the Twins, whoever, before the parade. You'll have all that to look forward to.
Down with that.
Yeah, it'd be a good situation. Coming up in 5 minutes, there's a facet of the offense for the Falcons that they should really max out before this play catches on. Chuck will tell you about that coming up in just a couple of moments. But first, I told you I think this Braves team, this era, this current incarnation of the Braves has two things that the even great teams of the Braves 90s never had. I can argue today's Braves have the best everyday player in the bigs and the best pitcher in the bigs. The 90s Braves, year after year, you could argue had the best starting pitcher in baseball. Some years it was Maddox, some years it was Glavin, some years it was Smoltz. I don't know in the entirety of the run if they ever had the best player in the game. It's not a slight towards Chipper. Chipper was a great, great, great player. But I bet if you ask people back in that time, from the time Chipper came up in 95 through his retirement in whatever it was, 12 or 13, there was always a Barry Bonds, right? There was always a Miguel Cabrera. There was a Junior. And again, that's not a slight at Chipper.
Oh, so you're not saying – you're saying someone who took the belt, the mantle for a minute, not like specifically the 98 season.
So I would say it this way.
Because he was the best player in 98.
99.
Or 99.
99
or
won the MVP.
Oh, damn.
But Terry Pendleton won the MVP in 91. He was the best player in the league. That's my point. Chipper was awesome in 99. He had an awesome career. But Ronald Acuna was put at the top of ESPN's top 100 player list.
Sure.
He was on top of MLB.com's player list. You can make a great argument for Ronnie being the best player in the game, and I can start to make a great argument that Spencer Strider is the best starting pitcher. Now, the pushback would be, well, Matt, his ERA was 3.86. Like, we're still doing ERA as the ultimate decider on that. He's the guy who misses more bats than anybody else. I think he's the most dominating force as a starting pitcher. I think he's the guy that at his age hasn't even figured out what he's doing. So I can label him at some point, and I think soon, maybe this year, the best starting pitcher in baseball. Those Braves teams of the 90s never had that. Now, what the Braves of the 90s had is better starting pitching depth than just about anybody the game's ever seen, right? Chuck, I picked out a couple of years to give you some comps here. The 93 Braves won 104 games. Maddox was the best starting pitcher in the game. Glavin and Smoltz might have been top 10 pitchers that year. But that Braves offense had a good David Justice, half a year of Fred McGriff, and a good Ronnie Gant. Nobody would put those guys near the top of the best player in the game. But they also had Lemke and Blauzer and Pendleton and Damon, Berryhill and Otis Nixon. Good team, but it doesn't compare to a team this year in this era that has arguably the best third baseman in the game, the best second baseman in the game. You can make a case for Olsen, the best first baseman.
Maybe the best overall player, though.
Murphy, the best player at his position behind the plate. And soon enough, folks, we're going to start making the case for Michael Harris, maybe the best center fielder in the game. That era, and I gave you 93, I'll give you 96, Smoltz was the best pitcher in baseball, won 24 games. Again, you had Maddox and Glavin top 10 pitchers. The offense was really good. Chipper, McGriff, Klesko all had big years. Javi came up in his first and second year, had good years, and Grissom was in center. But this all-around 25, 26-man roster is better. The only other one that I had was super close. Did you remember the 1998 Braves won 106 games? That was Maddox, again, the best pitcher in the game. Glavin and Smoltz top 10. That offense had Chipper, Galarraga north of 40 homers. Javi north of 40 homers. Andrew, a huge year. But no offense to Walt Weiss and Keith Lockhart, who were up the middle, or Michael Tucker, who was in right. But that overall 8 or 9 can't hold the candle to this team. And that's not a shot at those. It's a compliment to how deep this thing really is. It just tells you what they have to do now to separate is win another and another, get a championship or two more, and say we can hold the belt.
There were years where Maddux looked more normal, like human-like, than some other years, but he was just unbelievable every year. And so he was maybe baseball's best starting pitcher for like 4 or 5, 6 years. He had a year where he's like 19-2 and his ERA was in the ones.
That happened.
So that was Maddux. And so he was always the best pitcher in those 5 or 6 years, but there were individual seasons someone else was better. If we're going to say it that way, though, I do want to claim Chipper in 99 because he wasn't the best player in baseball. I mean, damnation, look at the junior. There are a lot of other great, 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 great players in the game at that same moment. But in 1999, you know what he was?
He was awesome.
He was the best player.
He was, yeah, he had the best season. I don't know that if you ask people at that time, because Barry Bonds was playing, and because a few other guys, I don't know they'd take Chipper first.
They wouldn't. They absolutely would. But in 99?
He was awesome. I'm looking at Maddux just for fun.
He put together a stupid run.
So Maddux gets here in 93. He goes 20-10. He somehow lost 10 games with a 2.36 ERA, which is silly. He had 8 complete games that year, started 36 through 270 innings. The next season, in a strike-shortened year, he went 16-6 with a 1.5. Then he went 19-2 with a 1.6.
That was it.
10 complete games in both those years. Then he went 19-4 with a 2.20.
Do you know the phrase that came to be in the 90s? It's you threw a Maddux.
Yeah, 2 hours and 2 minutes.
It was 99 or fewer pitches, and you got a shutout.
Do you want a bad year? Greg in 2000 went 19-9 with a 3 ERA. Oh, no, he threw 249 innings. My goodness. That guy was stupid. I mean, the numbers really did not dip. He won 15 games all the way up until when he was 40 years old.
He would throw a pitch that would start out about 8 inches off the plate, and then by the time he got there, it was about 2 inches off the plate, and that was enough for the ump.
Little different than Strider pumping 99 and 100 consistently and now trying to harness some of the secondary pitches. Pretty funny. All right, I'm going to share a number with you, Chuck, that will put Georgia's dominance under Kirby Smart into its proper perspective. We'll do that coming up. But first, a facet to the Falcon offense that they should really max out before a certain play catches on.
Yeah, this facet is called the Bijan facet. If his career, Matthew, is on the same path as current top NFL running backs, team needs him to have him fat tongue after every game. And you know what fat tongue is.
Yeah, he's tired, needs a little help.
Who was the tight end? Laporta for Detroit at the end of the game? Yep. When we played, it was like pop, 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 fat tongue. That's what you need with Bijan. Here is what's going to happen for his career. He's going to put up huge numbers his first 3 seasons. Get just the 5th-year activation following that, not an extension, and he won't be happy about it. He'll produce again in season 4, still not get the extension, then hold out. He will show up eventually for his 5th season, folks. All of this happens every season with an angry running back or 3. He will show up eventually. He will play enough to get the service year, about 12 games or so, and then he will hit the market either that season or maybe they'll franchise him once. Regardless, none of these scenarios include Bijan getting broken off, sort of like, all right, now I've arrived and I'm making huge NFL, $20 million. That's not what the second contract for NFL running backs is, not really a thing in most cases. Now, I know as facts goes, those are kind of cold and hard. But if you don't believe me, Matt, did you see Austin Eckler's money on the open market this year? Austin Eckler scored 38 touchdowns in 2 seasons, and the Chargers told him, not paying you. The other 31 teams had a shot at him. Open market. Anybody could get him. 2-year deal for $8.5 million. Now, I want to say one thing about the touchdowns. For me, that's probably 80% of the discussion for an NFL running back. If you score a bunch in the NFL, you're a stud. There is no context. I want to say, in addition to the 38 touchdowns, Eckler started every game for those 2 seasons. He ran for 1,800-plus yards. Matt, he caught 177 passes. Chargers like, yeah, he's a running back. F that guy. Even further down the food chain, Tyler Algier's looking around already, seeing writing on the wall, and he's like, I was a 1,000-yard back as a rookie, and nobody here cares at all. Difference for Bijan is we all notice Bijan. He's dynamic and downfield and breakaway, so we all know he's going to make big stats. Same thing. They're going to treat him the same way. They're going to grind the position. You ain't getting paid.
Do you know my response is, why do I care today? Go out next year. The Falcons are living in a 2 or 3 year vacuum right now. It's called the Kirk Cousins era. Don't worry about that then. Who cares?
Absolutely.
It's his money. It's his situation. I don't care. You know what I want? If I'm going to believe that they're going to invest, and I'm a little bit bothered right now that they're being more judicious with their cap than I was hoping they would be. They've signed nothing defensively, and I'm not saying you just force it because, you know, you just spend to spend. But if you're going in on this Kirk Cousins 3 year window, I'm going to go in with you. And this 3 years is all you need to do. Let's talk about Bijan after the next 3 years. Bijan is going to have Kirk for 2 years. We'll figure out a third. Bijan's going to have those weapons around on the outside. This run blocking offensive line. I'll worry about Bijan in 3 years, 4 years. I want to see what this looks like next season and the next 2 years after that, and then we'll reconvene.
I hope that is the approach because they said, and I think it was all a bunch of bullspit, but Matt, do you remember the week they, at a Flowery Branch, they were talking about Bijan was on a pitch count because we've been wanting to save him for the last half of the season?
So was that the Tampa thing or was that separate?
No, that was separate. The Tampa thing was, well, he felt bad this morning, had bad stomach.
Right, so they were just trying to keep him fresh.
There was another week where, why didn't you use Bijan? Well, you know, we've had him on a pitch count. We want to make sure he's fresh the second half of the season. I was like, what? You're trying to stay employed, dude.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Keep him fresh for who? The next year's coach?
And now you have a whole new set of eyes of Zach Robinson, who's going to play some fun games with him, with a quarterback who, like I said, you know what Kirk's best friend is going to be? Oh, there's seven in the flat. It's going to be great when they get him out in the route, and that's going to be fun. It's going to be weird for Bijan like these guys. Do you remember how many times, and one comes to mind in New Orleans, that there was a perfectly called play? And this is part of, you know, I know nobody can say anything good about Arthur Smith. Arthur called a lot of good stuff that the quarterback missed. He called an easy little slant to the running back out of the backfield that Desmond threw 3 feet over his head, and had a few others where Bijan had to be plastic man to make catches. Kirk's going to hit Bijan in stride where he's going to be able to run after the catch when he's in the slot and they have him running formations, but just out of the backfield. Or they didn't run screens a ton. They ran screens with Janu. They didn't run him with Bijan a ton. I think he's going to eat this season in a way that everybody who's a fantasy football fan wants him to eat. That's the exciting part. I said earlier in the show it was not a fun weekend for Kirby in Georgia. He didn't want to have to get calls about players being arrested at 5:30 in the morning, and that's what happened with Trevor Etienne. He doesn't want to, after working as hard as anybody in the nation on recruiting, have anybody flip in the 11th hour or the 5th hour or the 3rd hour, and Georgia lost potentially the number one DL in the nation. But for Kirby, he'll figure out that is. He'll flip somebody else's 5-star. He'll get somebody else's 4-star. They'll be number one in America in recruiting again. And this number backs up everything I'm saying. I saw it over the weekend from James Morgan at UGA Wire. Kirby Smart is now 94-16. Let me repeat, 94-16 during his 8 seasons in Athens. 2 national titles, 2 SEC championships. But the number that I'm going to give you kind of really gives you some context of just how special the talent has been in Athens. Georgia already has put 15 first-round picks into the pros in the Kirby Smart era. With 2 or more in this draft, Georgia will have had 17 at least first-round picks. They only have 16 losses in Kirby Smart's 8 years. Everybody get that in the back? 17 first-round picks, 16 losses, and 5 of those losses came in year 1.
Yeah, that's the impressive part. What do you say the number was? Because he was 8-5 that first year. What was the overall number?
He's 94-16, meaning he's lost 11 games in the last 7 years.
86-11.
That seems good.
Well, that's good to be a dog fan right now. Has been for a minute, too.
The likelihood is they'll get at least 2 in this first round, Brock and Amarius. Maybe they get Javon Bullard. Maybe they get something else. But those 2 at least are going to be first-round picks. Over the last 3 seasons alone, Georgia has as many losses, 2, as they have national championships. Additionally, Georgia has way more first-round picks, 8 of them, in the 22 and 23 NFL drafts than it does losses since the end of the 20 season with 2. Like, this is... I know you can't win it every year. Georgia could have won the championship again this year. The math didn't work out for them. It is what it is. You can complain or just deal with it. It is okay. This program is in such a place where these numbers are silly. I don't know how you sustain it. I don't know how long you sustain it. It doesn't seem like it's dipping for now or anytime soon. But you're going to hear about this more when we lead up to the draft, that you have more first-round picks than losses in your 8 years at one stop in the SEC. That is just flat dumb.
You know, it shows you just how crushing that loss was to Atlanta. I mean, you've got that on a resume for 3 years. You've got a combined 2 losses.
You're talking about in Atlanta with Bama?
I'm talking for Georgia, how crushing that was because – and then you got left out completely. Yep. Like, this is where you are as a program. Like, oh, you lost by 3 at the end of Bama. Sorry, you're out.
And the tough part for a lot of people to digest is I still think they were the best team. They had the best season. They were the best team. It didn't matter. You'd have to win the game or else get boxed out the way they did. Now, we know that'll never happen again with the 12-team, then eventually a 14, then a 16-team. All the playoffs expanding the way they are, that's the one reason to believe that this is not going to be something where Clemson, who was on this elite run themselves, and then just it slammed into a wall. I don't see that happening with Georgia. Just it feels very different from a recruiting standpoint, but Kirby is.
Kirby has not only adapted, Kirby has run towards the fire, where Dabo has said, I don't know, portal, culture fit. They still have one kid they brought in from the portal.
As a Clemson fan, you've got to lose your mind at that.
They've pursued it more, but I think it's still just the one quarterback who was it. Was that the kid that's Bear Bryant's like great grandson? I think that's the one guy they brought in the Alabama connection with Dabo. So
you say so.
It's just been a really weird thing.
All right, coming up, Chuck's got a college football today. Tease me and make it sexy.
Sexy? You
want
it?
I want sexy. Make it hot.
A huge commitment for UGA has one current player standing out for a tough reason.
I'm so turned on right now. We'll find out what it means next. Chuck and Chernoff, we're on the fan. This show works so much better when my microphone is on. And I'm new to radio, so I'm still trying to get down the ins and outs of how it works. But when you turn it on, things work well. We're with you till 6. What follows us? 680 Rewind, Chuck's favorite show. Giving you all things that you might have missed throughout the day, or it was so great, you're like, I want to hear it again. 6 to 7, local 680 The Fan fun.
David Holloway's show is next on 680 The Fan.
Holloway will kind of guide you through some of these moments throughout the program when we're done. This week, though, we're going to guide you through Braves baseball. The opener Thursday on The Fan at 3:05, right after the Ford Leadoff Show and 680 Game Day. Have your 680 The Fan app downloaded and be ready to tap on Thursday because you are going to need it. We will give you a best of Buck's one shining moment as we continue all the way through the NCAA tournament.
He is risen.
After Chuck gives you some college football 411.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today.
Got the beta king.
Presented by Roof It Forward. When your roof needs to be repaired or replaced, call the roofing company that supports Camp Sunshine. Together, we can roof it forward.
I don't know if this is true, but there are allegations or thoughts that Kirby back in the day, he might have whacked Tracy Rocker because he lost a 5-star D tackle in state to Tennessee. Was it Aubrey Solomon? Do y'all remember him? There was another guy, Derek Brown, who went over to Auburn. Kirby has made changes now regularly, but there's something about a 5-star, not even quarterbacks, 5-star in-state linemen, just don't have them. So believe me, Kirby's none too pleased. He will replace the decommitment. He may replace the decommitted 5-star with that exact kid. I mean, he can't sign yet. He can just say, I'm going to USC. So who knows? A commitment doesn't mean much to Kirby. But, you know, as far as, like, I'm committed to another school, Kirby's like, oh, well, I'll still recruit you if I like. So he's going to find somebody. But I'm telling you, there's something about a 5-star in-state D tackle that has seemed to rankle him a little bit. But there was good news that no one really paid attention to because, A, it's not in-state, and, two, it's a kid from a couple of years down the road. Georgia also got a commitment. It's from a 2026 quarterback, kid named Jared Curtis, out of Nashville. He's 16 years old. He's 6'4", 225 pounds. He's a 4-star quarterback projected right now. He is perhaps going to be the number one player in America in 2 years. That's what he's rated for the class right now. And as of now, he's a sophomore in high school. As of right now, Jared Curtis, number one ranked kid for two. He's a commitment to Georgia, so bully for Kirby getting Jared Curtis. But when I gave you his dimensions, he's 6'4", 225. The height, it might be a maxed out thing at 16. He might a little bit more, but for the most part, maybe he's about that tall, 6'4", 6'4 and a half. He'll thicken out. He may not be Dominic Riola, remember, who looked like just Frankenstein bashing and groaning his way towards high school defenders, and now he's at Nebraska. He was this big, giant kid. But it could be that way. Reason I'm mentioning this is there seemed to be some sort of physical stature thing going on with quarterbacks with Kirby's vision in the program, like Carson Beck, like Rayola, like the guy, who's it, Paglusi, how do I pronounce it, who replaced Rayola. this commitment for 2 years. Kirby has a vision for every position. I think his vision of a quarterback is 6'4", about 225 or bigger. And Gunnar Stockton, folks, he's just not the physical cut that the program recruits. I'm starting to wonder if this was 100% Muschamp got whacked. We hired Bobo. He's a Georgia kid. Bobo's dad was the coach or the quarterback coach of the high school. He was some sort of connection up in Raven County. The kid's a he's a Georgia kid who's a Bulldogs fan, and he's a five-star in-state quarterback. What the hell? We can get him. All we have to do is, yeah, we'll take him. Because it just does not fit, which, unfortunately, for Gunnar Stockton, makes me wonder how long he's staying at the program, because ahead of him, the older kids, and now the kids two more years down the road from Gunnar Stockton, there is a vision at QB, and it ain't him.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, presented by Roof It Forward on the College Football Voice of the South, The Fan.
Reminder, you can keep up with all things happening at this radio station, all the latest news, your favorite fan shows, whether it's live or podcasted on the Fan app, sponsored by Beaver Direct.
The Beave.
Beaver Direct is the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfCumming.com to see what wow.
Wow.
That's right. What wow really means. You can download the Fan app now in the Apple app and Google Play stores.
It's now time to see what Puck brought to the show. It's Puck's best line of the day. One shining
moment. The reasons that Bruce Irvin came home.
He's coming home.
He had a chance to go to the Steelers or the Patriots.
Well, I would think, number one, he's coming back home. All right, he's from Atlanta.
Okay.
All right, number two, he's going to be playing for his old coach. So those would be the top two things, I believe.
Okay.
Plus, he's probably got some women in town.
Well, when it comes back down to it, I mean, you got some women in town that helps you make your choice. Special editions of Buck's One Shining Moment all throughout the NCAA tournament. All right, coming up, I think these two numbers will tell you just how ready Spencer Strider is for his opening day assignment.
4-3-3.
I think those are three numbers.
4-3-3, man.
Sorry, Buck. Plus, if you like chalk, then this dance, well, it's for you. We'll talk about it next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.